here this morning. Keep on walking by faith. And we need to do that as we open our Bibles together. First of all, to the book of Job, chapter 38, for a few verses. Keep on walking by faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Once more. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I was telling my wife this morning, I'm sure going to need help with this one. And when I get up here, I don't know if I make it look easy or not, but I've never stopped getting over the fact that I'm helpless without the Lord. And I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a noted speaker. You know what I mean? But I don't use notes. But the Lord can help us, and we need to hear from heaven, and we need to hear what he has to say to us, and I believe we will. Otherwise, I wouldn't try. But I'm here because I know the power of God. I know what the Lord has done. I know he's able to touch every one of us. And that is what we're looking for today. We need a refreshing from heaven. One thing I can promise you, that what I have to say to you didn't come out of some headquarters, some canned sermon somewhere, something rehearsed and piles of notes. I don't even know how to use notes. You know, I tried it many, many, many years ago, and the Lord took them away from me. Because we need to know what the Spirit is telling us. And I don't even know what I'm going to say. I'm going to go into the Scripture and see where the Lord takes this. But I do know that it's vitally important for you and I to be in harmony with heaven. And that is the title of our message today, In Harmony with Heaven. And I would like to say a prayer first and call upon the Lord as we go into chapter 38 of the book of Job, just for a few verses, and then I'm sure we'll be elsewhere in the Scripture. Father in heaven, we are humbled to be in thy presence today. Thou art so great. Thou art so marvelous in all of thy ways. O Lord, accept our worship and our praise unto thee. O Lord, we are in great need of thee. We know this world challenges us, and it's becoming more and more wicked every day. But Lord, thou art able to succor us and to lift us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For we stand helpless without thee, O Lord. And, O Lord, we open our hearts and we open our minds and we lift up our hands unto thee, O God, asking that thou wouldst move upon us, that thou wouldst sweep over our souls, that thou wouldst fill us with the Holy Ghost, that we might harmonize with the glory of heaven and give thee praise and worship and honor, that we might be thy children in thought, in word, in deed, and in truth. O Lord, guide and direct us now in thy holy word. Give us ears to hear. Give us wise and discerning and understanding hearts, that when we walk out the doors today, if that time come, O Lord, then, O God, that we would walk out as thy disciples, thy children. For we are thy people. We are thy sheep of thy pasture, O God, and thou art our great shepherd. Help us now, O Lord, as we reach out and as we seek to harmonize with the glories of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In Job chapter 38, after all the trouble that Job went through, and of course his friends were there to comfort him, of course with friends like his, who would need enemies anyway? But we know that he went through great sorrow, far more than you and I could imagine, and suffered tremendously in his health, and losing all of his possessions, his family. He was down to nothing. His wife came out and said, "Curse God and die. He's taken everything away from you. You've got nothing left." But Job said, "You talk like a foolish woman." He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." At one point, the Spirit of God came over him. He began to prophesy. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after this flesh worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, whom mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Amen. This man had something that we all need. But Job, after all of the discussions and discourses and polemic dissertations he had with his quote-unquote friends, who were giving him such a rough time, trying to convince him, "You're an awful person, Job, that's why this happened to you. You're a terrible person, Job, that's why trouble came upon you." Let me ask you something. Are any of us immune from trouble? Have you ever had any trouble? And of course the devil comes along and says, "Yeah, see, huh? Where's your God now? Now you're in trouble." I'll tell you what, the Lord, as it tells us in the Psalms, is a very present help in trouble. If there's trouble, he's right in there with it, with you. But there was all this discussion going on, and finally, God broke through and began speaking. And that's what happens in chapter 38. "Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said," this is God speaking here, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" Now the discussions they had were profound, far more than these eggheads at these universities today. And if these people back here were talking in such a way that God said it darkeneth counsel, how about what's going on today? Did you ever get the feeling when you look at Washington, when you look at the university systems, the higher education, and all these things, do you ever get the feeling that nobody knows what they're talking about? Everything is theory. Everything is, this is what, these are our efforts. And of course, you know, the Freemasons believe, and that doctrine has permeated society in general, that God made the world, but now it's up to us to run it. Well, you know, God's in charge, but he's allowed man to do certain things, and look what they did with it. I'm not impressed. What does impress me is what God has done. "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" There's a lot of words out there without knowledge. "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." God demanding an answer. You know, he's going to do that again on Judgment Day. He's going to demand an answer. "Answer me!" "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Where were you, Job? Where were your friends? "Declare if thou hast understanding." The Lord is declaring the fact that he always was. From eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art the Lord. Everything else had a beginning, and it will have an ending. Who, he goes on and says, "Who hath laid the measures thereof?" Who measured out the world? How about the solar system? How about the universe? How about the entire cosmos? Who measured that out? They still can't measure it. They only think they can. Do you ever hear all the numbers they come up with? Billions and billions and billions and billions. Carl Sagan, remember him? Billions and billions. I'm not impressed. They like to throw zeros around. They're not anything anyway. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Was there a tape measure big enough to measure this thing out? The Lord is demanding an answer. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? What's holding this earth up? There's no wires, ropes, strings. What's holding it up? God is saying, you tell me. He knows. I'll tell you what holds this world together. His word. His word is so powerful that it causes everything to be suspended in its place. And in the last days, the earth shall move out of her place. Did you know that? There is such a violation committed against the word of God that it causes the very earth to tremble. But he says, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Now he says in verse 7, and we're going to focus on this for a minute. When the morning stars sang together, they sang together. They sang together. And all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now some people think there that the sons of God were angels. No, those are the morning stars. They are the angels. Remember how Satan, when he was cast out, drew one third of the stars of heaven with him? These angels were referred to as stars. Of course, when they became demons, they still wanted to be stars. That's why they inhabit all these people in Hollywood. And what do people call them? Stars. They want to get inside of people and do their work and give their satanic talent, calling upon all the inventories of hell to be manifested on the Hollywood screens. And they want to be called stars. And dancing with the stars, right? No, they're not stars anymore. They're demons. And you know, when it says sons of God here, it's talking about you and I. For God, in his infinite mind, saw us from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Your names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So says the word of God. You weren't born yet, but God saw you there. God saw you shouting for joy. That's how great he is in his foreknowledge and in his infinite wisdom. He saw all the sons of God, all the people of God. Come on, to be a son, you have to be born or born again. To be a son of God, you have to be born again. Angels were never born. God said in Hebrews chapter 1, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? The sons of God are the people of God. John chapter 1 says, he came to his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You can become a son of God, but it takes power to do it. And what happens in the last days? The churches, they have a problem. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. How are they going to be sons of God? You got churches full of unregenerated, unrepentant monsters. Come on. Do you ever hear the music they listen to? Ever hear the music they play? Lord gave me a confirmation this morning. I walked out the front door and there was some knucklehead. Hope you don't mind my vernacular. Or should I say meathead? Is that better? I'll tell you why you can say meathead, because to be carnally minded is death. And if you're carnally minded, the word carnal comes from the same root as carnivorous, which means meat eating, pertaining to meat. So if you're carnally minded, you're a meathead. Amen. Driving down the street in a red car, windows open, and this noise, not music, because the definition of music is a series of sounds pleasing to the ears. And I don't find it pleasing. It's boom, 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 bang, bang, bang. The bass just, you know, I'll tell you what. I was out at our other building at the 1000 Green Valley Road, our processing center. And I was waiting for a repairman to come out there the other day. And I stood there and I had my arm on the bar that you push to open the door. And the whole building started vibrating. I thought, what is this? And I had my hand, and the door was shaking. It was a guy driving by with that bass, those woofers and tweeters, and it shook the building. Of course, some people think you should have that in church because that draws the crowds, see? Or talk about carnally minded, rotten sounds. You know, it's an awesome thing to behold, to see how far gone this world is. And we often talk about the corruption in the government, and I think we should. I think that one of the functions of the Holy Ghost is to reprove the world of sin. Let sin be sin, call it sin. Let them know about it, let everybody know about it. Hold the standard high, make some noise. Who will rise up? Says the Word of God. But you know, when you look at all that's happening in this world, we can see the result of a strange incident that took place long, long, long ago. When the morning stars sang together, God's holy angels, and God saw you there in His mind, even though you weren't born yet. The sons of God shouted for joy. Now, notice this, because this is the verse we're using to get our title, In Harmony with Heaven. The sons of God sang together. Not the sons of God, they shouted for joy, but we'll sing with them. I'm getting ahead of myself. There's a way for you to be in harmony with heaven. Now, so you as sons of God will. But back then, it was the stars. These wondrous morning stars. As the creation came forth, they sang in harmony. And what a beautiful, wondrous sound that must have been. The angels singing in perfect harmony. Voices blending together. What a sound, what a heavenly sound. You know, the Bible tells us when Jesus was born that those shepherds out in the field there heard the angel announce the birth of our Lord Jesus. And it wasn't in December, I'll guarantee you that right now. Or those shepherds wouldn't have been in the field. But they were out there and suddenly the whole sky filled up with a heavenly host. There was rejoicing because the Savior had now come forth. And there was a harmony in heaven. You see, when God made all things, He did it with a harmony. He looked at everything and said, "Behold, it is good." It's harmonious, not one sour note in all the creation. And the way that the planets are moving around the sun in their eccentric orbits and always in position, and the way the earth is held within certain parameters of its orbit, and average of 93 million miles from the sun, and you look at the smallest of things, the waves of the energy that flow from the sun, flows in waves, there's a harmony there. In fact, the ancient astronomers, I shouldn't say ancient, back in the Middle Ages, believed that there was a music of the spheres, that there was actually a... And they said there were 88 notes that they had figured out. And you know, strangely enough, with some of our instrumentation, we actually can hear the harmony of the heavens. And they've actually heard it. And God made it in perfect harmony. And so all the heavens and all the earth was in that perfect harmony. But then something terribly wrong took place. Something awful happened that threw everything out of harmony. Sin was committed in the Garden of Eden. And it threw everything off. It broke the harmony with heaven. Suddenly, notes were sour. Things went wrong. Everything began to change. God, in fact, expelled Adam and Eve from the garden that he had planted eastward in Eden. And it was a shocking event that took place. And very soon, as the earth began to populate, it became obvious that that was just the beginning. Now everything was going downhill. Look at the extent to which it has been corrupted right now today. The harmony was broken. These beautiful angels singing together. But you know, in heaven they still do. In fact, they rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance. And the only time there's going to be absolute silence in heaven, it says for the space of half an hour, is when there's no more repentance on earth. And that time is coming when nobody repents anymore. Everything has become so degenerated. Everything's so out of harmony. And God made it so beautiful. You know, the Lord knew we would go for walks in the fields, and so he put the beautiful flowers, daffodils, and all the different kinds of flowers there, so as you walk, you would have this beauty surrounding you. And God put the stars in the sky so you could look up and see the patterns of the stars and glorify God. Not try to work some kind of astrology, but to glorify God. David said in the Psalms, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." He worshiped the Lord. Marvelous are thy ways. And that harmony is still in the creation of God. But man went completely the opposite way and fell out of harmony because of the sin. You know, I love to get outside somewhere where the birds are singing. Birds are such beautiful creatures. They're like living flowers. And they all have their little song, don't they? Every one of them has an individual little song that they sing. They take their part in God's choir. They express the harmony that's there. You know, there were some ornithologists at a university that went out just as an experiment to where there were many, many varieties of songbirds, and they took their equipment with them and they recorded all the birds singing. And all the different types and the little chirping sounds and the cardinals are so obvious. Even the sparrows have their little song. But they all had their little song, and they recorded this and then took it back to the music laboratory, and they analyzed it and they remixed it. Now, they didn't change anything as far as the tone, the sound. Everything was authentic bird sounds. But they put it together in a remix, and they said they came up with a symphony so beautiful that it was far greater than anything Handel ever wrote or any of these other great performers. By taking the different parts that the birds sang and put them together in the form of a symphony, they said it was so stunning that it was beyond human comprehension just from these birds singing. And God put those songs in their hearts, their little fluttering bird hearts, as they sit in the trees and sing their part unto God. And God hears it as a beautiful symphony. They get in harmony with heaven. It's such an awesome thing to think about. But God had asked Job that question, "Where were you, Job, when the morning stars sang together?" Turn your Bibles over with me to the book of Ezekiel for just a moment. In the chapter 28, 28th chapter of Ezekiel. And we're going down to verse 11. And here the word of God tells us. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation." Not a lamentation is sorrow, expression of grief and sorrow. "Upon the king of Tyrus." Tyrus, the word where you get tyrant from. The city of Tyre was actually where Satan was resident for a while. He moves around sometimes. I've got a strong feeling he's hanging out in Washington quite a bit right now. Take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum. In other words, you are the bottom line. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He was there when the world was created. His name was Lucifer. The bright, brilliant light bearer. Okay? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. The sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. Now notice something. Have you ever noticed? It tells us, it'll tell you in a moment here, that Lucifer was cast out. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. As soon as he became rebellious, went out of harmony with heaven, went out of harmony with God, he was thrust out. And he built churches because he wants to be God. He built Catholic churches, Lutheran churches, Episcopal churches, Mormon churches. Satan is a church builder because he wants to be God. And what does he do with these churches? He decorates them with gold and silver. Go over to the Sistine Chapel. Look at Rome. All these churches want to be bedecked with gold, or at least collect big offerings. And that's why you find all of this gold and glitz and silver and gold and emeralds and precious stones. Look at the crowned heads of Europe. The crowns always have to be gold with all these stones in there. Why? Because Satan said, all this is given to me, and unto whom I will, I give it. Now, God's still in charge, but the devil likes to decorate his things up. And so he gets into all that gold. And you know, we don't have any of that in here. Got some cheap brass, and I think it might even just be brass-plated light fixtures. There are no crosses in here. There's nothing fancy. Who needs it? Amen. The devil decorates his churches up. As a matter of fact, he does more than that. Notice what else it says. Why are they taking up a lamentation? Because the highest of the archangels fell through his own rebellion, through his own pride. The first pride in the pulpit, huh? Now, Word of God tells us, of him, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. I turned on the radio for a couple of minutes this morning to catch the news, and the Lutheran hour was just going off. That's the best time to turn that on, is just when they're going off. And they had that pipe organ playing in there. I thought, dear Lord, that sounds like hell to me. You know, pipe organs belong in a Dracula movie or something like it. It's ugly, 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 ugly. What do these churches have to have? Pipe organs. Why? Because the pipes were prepared in Satan. Right? He is the one, he loves pipe organs. The devil loves those things. And the tabrets, you know, the tambourines, the jingling bells and so forth. You know, you go into Catholic Church at a high mass, and every time the priest wants a free refill on his chalice with that hooch, that booze, that wine, he rings a bell. Ding, 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 you know, and the altar boy comes, fills it up, and he sticks his big nose in there again and starts drinking it. When he wants a refill, he rings the bell. You know, the devil loves bells and pipe organs. What do you have in churches? Bells and pipe organs. Of course, now in the big old cathedral-type churches, of course, now they got the synthesizers and all this kind of stuff. If you read my newsletter this time, I got something in there to say about that too. But it's kind of amazing. So, the tabrets and pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now, when God made him, there was good, harmonious music. But it became grotesque when he fell out of harmony with heaven. And he carried that grotesque sound to the earth, and we hear it all around us today. And in churches. You know, there's this rock group that came out a number of years ago, KISS. K-I-S-S, Kings in Satanic Service. It was an acronym. And people, I don't know what they saw in them, other than they were demonized by it. They were harmonizing with demons. And there really is no harmony, you know what I mean? It's everything, every association with the devil is bizarre, it's offbeat, there's something wrong with it. It never quite works out. And of course, this group got up there and they sang their wicked and evil songs. And there were some people sitting in churches that liked to listen to them. So they said, I'll tell you what, we'll start a group called Striper. And they had zigzag lightning bolts on and skin-tight pants and trying to play some kind of so-called gospel music. Could anything like that possibly be in harmony with heaven? Not a chance. But people are so demonized. They are so deceived and deluded and blind. They're believing a lie. We don't want to harmonize with hell. We don't want to harmonize with the world. All that is in the world, all of it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, right? That's what the Word of God tells us. He goes on and says in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Satan was a cherub. He was an archangel. And I have set thee so. Thou wast. See the past tense there? It's not there anymore. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect. Again, past tense. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. You know, there is no explanation to the origin of evil other than this. You can look at all the philosophies, all the different religions, Eastern religions, whatever. There is no explanation for the origin of evil. It had to come from somewhere, and this is where it came from. Then he goes on and says, by the multitude of thy merchandise. Does Satan have merchandising going on in the churches? And I'm going to tell you this, any ministry, and I'm going to get a lot of people mad at me, not people so much as the ones that run these ministries. Any ministry that sells anything for money is not a ministry. Now, we have to buy materials. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that. But you cannot sell. There's no buying and selling in the kingdom of God, only giving and receiving. No buying and selling. That's what differentiates it from all other things. And I believe that. If you have any merchandising going on, any kind of selling in the church, it's not the church of God. There are a number of things that disqualify a church from being God's church. Another one is, any church that ever sheds a drop of blood is not the church of God. Where does that leave Catholicism? Think about it. And all of those organizations that sign up with the government in their 501c3 status are extending their right hands of fellowship with the government and providing support for them to kill their babies and go along with all the social programs of Barack Obama and all those others of his ilk. You know, it's really a pathetic thing, isn't it? Now, this past week has been quite a week. First of all, it was all planned out, you know. Ed McMahon died on Tuesday. You know, Johnny Carson's sidekick, right? Ed McMahon dies. Then Farrah Fawcett dies. Then Michael Jackson was assassinated. Is it possible? You got these three. They like to work in threes, see? Now what does that do? All the press goes on that. Everything is right there. Michael Jackson. You know what? He's dead. And Jimmy Crack Corn, I don't care. I think we can do well without him. Praise the Lord. He assumed room temperature. I think I have an opinion on this. I can't prove it. I think his doctor assassinated him, gave him an injection, and he dropped dead, and I don't think it was an accident. Why? To bring about a misdirection, to focus all the people in the country, because they're already so deluded, they're already so involved in all of this kind of Hollywood stuff and entertainment industry. And you know what holds the U.S. Postal Service together right now? No, not the glue on the stamp. So many people are sending email. They've lost a vast amount of revenue. Netflix. If you took Netflix out because of all the countless millions upon millions upon millions of Netflix movies going back and forth and back and forth and all this postage, they'd be in some real deep trouble. That's how bad it is. But you look at this, what has happened here this week, the deaths of these three celebrities, people focusing, reading all about it, stories on that, go on the internet, search it all out. Now they said Michael Jackson's records are climbing off the charts again. Everything's selling like crazy. People are having vigils. They're gathering around. They're making demands. We want the truth. What happened to Michael? The king is dead, they said. Not my king. The king is dead. You know, when that pope died years ago, that is John the 23rd, when he died, I was just getting out of high school at the time. I remember Walter Cronkite. Remember him? This was Walter Cronkite reporting. Walter Cronkite got on the news, the anchor, you know. Anchor holds something down. And he got on the news and he said, the head of the church is dead. What? The head of the church is dead? Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death, Walter. If that, I'm telling you, if he thought that that pope, with that big oversized Roman nose, snarfing up the wine, was the head of the church, forget it. I don't know what it is with these popes. They all have noses like anteaters. Did you ever notice that? And of course, they like to use the Latin in the high mass, and so they're always talking about dominoes. Right? It is unbelievable. So anyway, they get the distraction going, so people are looking at Hollywood. Oh, poor Michael. Oh, we got to mourn for him. Buckets of tears. Bring the roses. Line up with the candles. And all this attention on Michael Jackson. Of course, Ed McMahon, he was a distraction for a while. Farrah Fawcett, the poster girl of the 70s with her frizzed up hair. And she was the one who started that, you know. All of a sudden, women all over the place walking around with that hair up, all wild hair, you know. They think, wild hair, wild woman. Woo! You know? Back in the 70s there, I think she was really at her apex. So, and now, but Michael Jackson is getting most of the attention. So what happens? While all this is going on, like the old stage magician, misdirection. Now they come in, and on Friday night, right after the witch's esbit is over at midnight, they come in, call all the Congress together, at 3 o'clock in the morning, in the darkness of night. They take a 300-page document, this climate bill. They throw it on the desk of every congressman. They said, we're going to take a vote. Read it if you want to, but we're ready to vote. And Nasty Pelosi was there officiating over the House. Remember when she first took power? She stood there with a clenched fist and a black whip. Never give a woman like that a black whip. She said, I am the most powerful woman in the world. Did you hear her roar? Seek heil! Seek heil! These are the people. Where are the demons that were in Hitler? And Goering. And Goebbels. Rudolf Hess. And all the others. Where are they now? They're somewhere. They're still around. These people all assumed room temperature. They timed out, but the demons went somewhere else. And all you have to do is watch what they're doing. And what is in this climate bill that did pass the Congress? It didn't make it through the Senate yet, but they've got that under Democratic control. Obama has all of these congressmen, all these Democrats, and some of them even crossed over and became Democrats. Arlen Specter. They're all performing like trained SEALs for Obama. Right? Throw them a fish. Everything they do is fishy anyway. 3 o'clock in the morning in the darkness of night, 300 pages, no time to read it, and not one of our congressmen read it, and they voted it in. And included in that bill, and I got this from a reliable source, although I'm still investigating it, but included in that bill was the provision for voluntary euthanasia of the elderly. People in nursing homes, kill them off. If they want to be. I mean, there's nothing, no law that says you can't now. You just, I know Oregon had this for a while, some other states, but you see, it's easy. You get somebody in a nursing home and feed them slop. Don't give them anything nutritious. They all of a sudden get real skinny until their bones are almost sticking out. Come on, I've been in there. I've worked with these people. Draw the big money, right? Of course, the government has to pay a lot of it, so they're a liability. Hitler called them useless eaters. Remember? By the way, what else did Obama do? With this Green Act, I call it, this climate thing that Al Gore was pushing for and now has passed the House of Representatives. Now that has gone through, Obama took over the auto industry, didn't he? He owns General Motors, ostensibly. What did Hitler do? Came out with the Volkswagen, remember? A V in German is pronounced like an F in the front of a word. Volkswagen. The people's car. They're all driving little pregnant roller skates. Huh? Except for the big wheels. They're driving the Mercedes along the Autobahn. But everybody's got to drive the little car. And they all look the same. And what is Obama doing? He's coming up with this little car for everybody. You're going to have your little car to drive in. It's very easy on gas, runs on electricity some of the time, all this kind of stuff. See, and get rid of everything else. He's the great car pope. See? He's going to tell you what to drive. Hitler did it. Hitler passed a law on voluntary euthanasia for the elderly. Before long, he started up the ovens, was hauling people out in boxcars. It's happening all over here in our country. The same evil spirits that were in Hitler are in Barack Obama, as sure as I'm standing here. And this world is so out of harmony and out of touch with God and out of touch with heaven, they can't make head or tail out of anything and they don't care. And that apathy is causing and allowing, I should say, those in positions of authority to get away with this for a time. There ought to be an outrage. People ought to be rising up. But it's summer. Pretzels and hot dogs and beer and the races and baseball. Give me my 12-pack and my box of pretzels and the Milwaukee Brewers and everything's well. Summer fest, devil fest. Huh? Down by the lakefront there, beer tent after beer tent after beer tent after beer tent. I don't know who in the world would want to drink beer. That is some of the worst slop that was ever concocted. You've got to be awful thirsty to drink beer. You'd have to be at your last leg. I'm telling you, it's awful tasting. And you know, I tell people this sometimes, you know, over there in Milwaukee, They found this to be true. The Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company, years ago, they were checking out the, you know, they go in and they clean out the vats every so often, major sanitation, you know, and they have these filters, and this is true of all the breweries. They have these filters there, and they cannot control the rats and the mice because they love that malt and that grain. And they get in there, and they get stuck in those filters, and they flatten right out. You know, and all this beer goes through the filters and through these rats and mice. I had a little article I read on it called Rats in the Vats. And that wonderful flavor people talk about, you know, is probably essence of rat. And they just don't know it. And they'll buy the stuff and they'll guzzle that down. They say, ah, nice cold beer on a hot day. Can't you try lemonade or just water? And that stuff just has an awful, the first time anybody tastes it, they'll tell you it's awful. But then they get used to it a little bit. They acquire a taste for the essence of rat and mouse. And pretty soon they prefer that. And they have different names for it and different kinds of it. Lager beer and Bock beer and you name it. It's a terrible thing. But you know, this world is so out of harmony, it is on such a spiritual drunk that they don't even see what's happening to our country. Overseas, they see it happening. I read articles in Pravda, the Russian newspaper. I read articles from the London Times, Daily Telegraph, Australian newspapers, the Herald Sun and so forth, different ones. And they'll tell you all about it. But you're not hearing about any of that over here. Would you like another example? Back in 2006, the Russians came over here, and they went over to Bayonne, New Jersey, and they set up a monument. They said it was a monument to the World Trade Center's coming down, anti-terrorism monument. It was called the Teardrop Monument. Look it up on the internet. You'll see a picture of it. It's a large rectangular monument built by the Russians, paid for by the Russians, designed by the Russians. It's a big monolith, split in the middle as if it were torn apart, with a large metallic teardrop hanging right in the middle, lined up directly with the Statue of Liberty, and triangulates with Ground Zero, where the two towers stood, forming an isosceles triangle, which is a part of Pythagorean geometry, sacred witchcraft. The Russians built this thing. It wasn't anywhere in the news. People didn't hear about it. In the other countries, it was all over the place. Why didn't they say anything? Well, you know what's interesting about this is that monument, built by the Russians, paid for by the Russians, designed by the Russians, is sitting overlooking Kilvan Kal, the busiest seaport in the world. Did you ever hear the Kilvan Kal? In Dutch, the word kil means a waterway. It isn't like you've off somebody. A kil is a waterway. The Kilvan Kal, of course, New York was New Amsterdam. Heavy, heavy Dutch population, especially northern Staten Island. But they put this thing up in Bayonne, New Jersey, directly across the harbor. And that is property that was owned at one time by John D. Rockefeller, the Standard Oil refinery property in Bayonne, New Jersey, which was the very birthplace and training ground where a man named Bronstein, who changed his name to Trotsky, worked with the Bolsheviki and trained their Bolshevik army later on to meet up with Lenin in Switzerland and Stalin in Russia. Stalin was a train robber and bank robber. They called him the Jesse James of the Urals. And they met together. Of course, the Trotsky and his bunch, which trained on that very place where that monument now stands, a monument to communism, a monument to the Bolsheviks, to mark our country as having been taken over. And in addition to that, they put a large bronze statue of Vladimir Lenin in a square in Seattle, actually in Fremont, which is a part of Seattle, Washington, right next to the Masonic Lodge. This notorious mass murder communist stands in the streets of America. This monument built on the training ground of the Bolsheviki, and it wasn't in the news anywhere. You'd think that'd be big news. It's huge. Why the silence? This world is so out of harmony with God that they've lost all understanding. They can't put two and two together and get four anymore. Everything is relative. That's why even in the schools, they say math doesn't have to be accurate anymore. Just get close enough. We don't want anybody to feel bad because they're so dumb. So you will have this advanced math where you don't have any accuracy. See? Just get close. That's good enough. What has happened? You know, it's a wonder. You put these people in charge of anything precision and see what happens. They keep the majority of the people dumbed down on purpose. That's the purpose of a public school, to keep you dumb and to keep you orientated, aligned with the sun, with the Orient, regarding the New World Order. These are New World Order indoctrination institutions, not schools of education. Indoctrination. That's why this September, they're going to be lining everybody up to get inoculated against the H1N1 pandemic virus. Look at all the people that die every year from malaria. Thousands every day. Thousands every day die from malaria. But they don't call that a pandemic. You know why? Because they can't make a vaccine that deals with it. The only time they're going to declare a pandemic is when they can make a vaccine and shoot people up with it, with their syringes. That word bothers me too, because syringe is actually the, if you look at the plural syringes, that isn't really accurate. The plural for syringe is syrinx. You can check that in the dictionary if you want to. What was a syrinx? It was pan pipes. That set of pipes played by the god Pan, the god of Arcadia, of Greece, the one who incites panic and pandemonium, right? And so what do they shoot you up with? One of those little pan pipes full of some kind of a poison always includes a rancid, rotting form of protein, usually taken from the pustules of sick animals, mixed together with thimerosal, mercury, and numerous other things that can do you in. Mess with your mind. Cause all kinds of shaking diseases. Palsies. Autism. And they do it on purpose. And now they're working on a bill to require everybody to get one of these. And to make sure everybody gets dosed, they're already down in Iowa. There are various companies working on this with the university, Iowa State University, to put this very vaccine in the corn that they grow. And it is so pervasive and so tenacious that when the pigs eat the corn, they pass the vaccine right on through the meat into the people that eat the pork.
Dirty bunch.
Of course, Sotomayor, the new pick for the Supreme Court, likes to munch on pig's ears anyway. According to what she said, pig's ears, pig's feet, pig's intestines, anything pig, she likes it. You talk about being out of touch with heaven, out of touch with God. What's wrong with our world? The harmony has been broken. But I love it. Every so often, God will send a little sign along, you know. This is kind of interesting. Just got this yesterday. And this just happened on the 20th of June in South Jordan, Utah. It starts out by saying, Mother Nature, I don't believe there's a Mother Nature. I believe in our Heavenly Father. Mother Nature left her mark on a new Mormon temple when a lightning strike hit the building, blackening the golden angel that tops it. They built this brand new Mormon temple out there in South Jordan, Utah. And they always have this angel Moroni, this big statue, gilded, covered with gold, standing on a ball, you know, the earth, kind of with this trumpet. Do you ever see a picture of that? And God saw that thing, and he's already fed up with what's going on. He's near to come anyway. He's just about had it with this world. And they put that up there and said, I don't want that there. Wham! Hit it with lightning and turned it black. It's not gold anymore, it's black. So they're in the process now of taking it down to regild it. Watch him do it again. Amen. But people are so strange, they don't heed the signs of God. And there are so many of them. How can they miss it? Listen, when God strikes a gold angel and turns it black, it tells me there's a fallen angel running around that he is dealing with. That's a sign. You know, in Ezekiel, I didn't really finish my reading yet. We take these little side roads sometimes. But the Word of God tells us, we're still in chapter 28. I read about how there's a multitude of merchandise in the churches. Wherever Satan is, you'll find merchandising. Makes you wonder about Wall Street, doesn't it? Hey, they knew this was all going to happen long before it happened. They had those banks set up. They had those investment companies set up. That was all planned out at 58 East 68th Street in Manhattan, which, of course, is the Council on Foreign Relations, the Harold Pratt Building. And then if you go down to 42nd Street and go toward the, of course, Lori knows where all these places are because she's from the Bronx originally. Is that right? Originally, you were born there? What a place to be from, huh? Better to be from there than to be there. But you go down 42nd Street toward the East River and you come to the Trilateral Commission and the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith and all these other subversive communistic organizations. It's all there to see if people would open their eyes. I've been in all those places. I can't believe all the places that God took me to. One after another, from one end of this nation to the other. And now I can understand why. He was preparing me for something at the very end. And I believe I'm in the middle of it right now. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Merchandising causing violence? Yep. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. God saw all of this in advance because he is God. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Watch out for these. You know, California has got this governor. Arnie, right? Mr. Universe. Mr. Muscle. They never talk about the one in his head. But that's where the biggest muscle of all is. And right now his state is in such bad shape that they're issuing IOUs. They're shutting everything down. The state has had it. California is going under fast. And they're doing it. Wisconsin is in trouble. And now with that legislation, that new budget they just passed, more and more industries are going to get out of here. Mercury Marine in Fond du Lac is looking at relocating. The plant, the GM plant down in Janesville, they thought of maybe making smaller cars there. They said, no, we're not going to do that. Now we'll stay in Michigan. Forget that place. But now they're going to, with this bill that passed, they're going to tax any coal burning. Most electricity is generated in Wisconsin from coal burning facilities. So electricity, they said, will go up. This was on WTMJ on Friday. Electricity in Wisconsin will go up at least 170%, according to Representative Sensenbrenner. 170% increase in electricity. Because Obama's taxes will force it up. If they're going to burn coal, they got to pay mightily for it. They got to pay dearly for it. Industries leaving, more jobs lost. How long will it go on until people load and lock? It's hard to find. Carrie here works in a gun store, and he was saying some ammunition you can't even get. You can't get it. They're pulling back on ammunition. Why? So many. I'm not saying go ahead and shoot it up. I'm not telling anybody to do that. I'm just saying this is what's going on. I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying or misunderstand me. I'm just saying that there are a lot of people out there that are getting ready for violence, and they're only going to take so much, and they're going to start to open fire. Just watch it. You can only push people so far. And you don't realize how close we are to that right now. That's not the answer, but it's going to happen anyway. I know what the answer is. And we've got to keep it spiritual. The answer is to get in harmony with heaven. And the only way you can get in harmony with heaven is through Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Speaking of the devil here, he says in verse 17, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." There's your first pride in the pulpit. "Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." They're going to look at the one who did all of this. "Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries." The devil has sanctuaries? Sanctuaries? Almost all of them that you see. These churches are nothing more than witchcraft with a cross on the top. If you've got a cross on the top, that guarantees they're full of evil. There are no Christian symbols. There are no Christian symbols. God said unto, "What will you liken me?" What likeness will you make to an invisible God? Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible. One of God's attributes is he's invisible. He makes himself known in different ways, but his presence is invisible. But you know what? You can feel his presence, and you can feel his spirit. Because the Holy Ghost is the spirit of Jesus Christ, who is God. But he says, "Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic." Traffic there means trading. Trading, as in trading stocks, as in trading bonds, as in trading counter-trade transactions, T-accounts, right? "Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee." They're going to see their God burn up. Come on. And so what happened is the earth degenerated a long, long ways from what it once was in glorious, beautiful harmony. You know, I think of those birds that sing. And they just keep singing. I love it. Early in the morning, before the sun comes up, they all start singing in their beautiful little songs. I can't think of anything I like better. They're like living flowers with a song. And all the color. I look up in the trees and I see a beautiful red cardinal up there and singing away. And you know what? Those birds are in constant danger. Somebody might shoot them. And by the way, one thing I have no tolerance for is killing for sport. If it's for survival, that's one matter. But to kill for the fun of it, what kind of a beast is going to go and kill things because he enjoys killing? Amen. Now you can say amen or oh me, I don't care. But I'll tell you what, it's a terrible thing just to have a lust to kill. There's something wrong with that. But these birds are in constant danger of predators, of people that might shoot them. And they know they're in constant danger. But you know what? They always keep singing anyway. And there's something about the people of God. when they have a little taste of being in harmony. That's why we gather like this, you know. That's why we sing songs. Because for a little while, we reach that place where you feel the Spirit flowing through you. Feel those chills go up and down your spine. You feel that touch of God. It's just a little touch of what was lost. Just a little touch of being in harmony once again with the power of God. Oh, the power of harmonizing with heaven. You know, several years ago, there were a group of Christians got together singing and worshiping, getting in the Spirit, praising God. Just a handful of them. And as they sang, they were recording it, praising God. And it just was so wonderful how the Spirit of God was just flowing upon them. And they had their hands in the air and they were just singing beautifully unto the Lord. And they had recorded it. And one of the people present, one of those Christians, was a music student at a university. And he took the recording. It sounded so beautiful. He took it and played it for his music professor. And his music professor listened intently and he said, "Now wait a minute, there's something unusual here. There's something strange about this. I don't understand it." He put it through his electronic analyzers. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "How many did you say were singing?" He said, "Just a handful of us." And he said, "There's more voices here than that." And he said, "According to my instruments, some of them were 7 octaves above middle C, beyond the capability of any human voice. And they were harmonizing beautifully with the people." We can sing so much from the heart that the angels join in. And it's that kind of an atmosphere where the Holy Ghost comes down. We can learn in the Spirit because of what Jesus did. We can learn to harmonize. The devils will flee away. You know, Saul, after he had rebelled against God, called for David, "Play that harp, David, play it." The evil spirits left. You can harmonize with heaven. God put that in us. We sing the songs of Zion. Oh, we sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." And you sing it, and when the heart begins to harmonize, not just your voice, not your vocal cords, God hears the heart. Even if you don't have a singing voice, God hears the heart. And your heart can harmonize with heaven and join with the angels, and the angels join with you, and the power of God comes down. That's why we sing. You can sing alone, but it's just, you sing in the Spirit, you won't be alone very long. Those good feelings that you get from singing those songs. Oh, and these churches want to trade those old songs in. Huh? For some of these wild rock. There's one they came out with now in one of these churches, "Rock With Me, Jesus." I'm telling you, and they're trading in these beautiful songs, and as long as I'm the pastor here, there will never be a rock song in this church. Never. Anybody tries it, gets the bums rush out the door. Will anybody give me a hand with that? Now, I'm just saying, you know, they're going to be in the world, then they're going to be in the world, but don't bring it in here. We're harmonizing with heaven. We're going to sing the glory of God and praise Him and get that harmony back. We are invited to do that. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Sing unto Him a new song. Oh, I'll tell you, this psalm, I'm almost out of time. I got to do this quickly. In Psalm 61, David fought so many spiritual battles, and he said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." Have you ever had your heart overwhelmed? We all have. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever." Praise God, where the angels sing. "I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise. Come on. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. You know, over there in the book of Acts in chapter 16, it tells us of Paul and Silas in jail. They had been beaten, they had been whipped. They had cast the devil out of a woman, a spirit of divination. They were captured for it. Their master saw that the hope of their gain was gone. They were captured. But there they were, and they began at midnight to sing praises unto God, it tells us. It shook the whole place. They were harmonizing with heaven. Their backs were beaten open. They were in pain. And God saw the depth of the sincerity of their hearts. And it harmonized with the Savior and His great sacrifice for us. And He poured out His Spirit upon them and shook the place up. And before the night was over, the jailer and his whole family were baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. And God raised up a church at Philippi. And when you read the book of Philippians, that's how that book came forth. From the bloody, beaten backs of those who would praise God at midnight, harmonizing with the angels of God. You know, the swan. Talk about birds. The swan is the most amazing of all the birds, I believe. The lifespan of a swan is 102 years. You might say, I didn't know that. I didn't either till yesterday. 102 years. And all during that time, if it lives, nothing kills it or whatever, it lives its lifespan, it sings no song. It has no voice. It's the mute swan. It sings nothing. Nothing. Until 2 hours before it dies, it begins to sing the most beautiful song that ever hit the human eardrums. And that swan, that beautiful swan, 2 hours before it dies, will sing for those 2 hours, and it dies singing. Think of what Jesus did for us. You know, they use that saying, this is my swan song, or whatever. It refers to your last great thing you ever do. They use it in the entertainment industry. That's their swan song. It's because of that, the fact that the swan dies singing and never sings until 2 hours before its death. And it's so beautiful. I'm trying to find where it's recorded. I want to hear it. But they say it's the most beautiful sound you could ever hear. It goes right to the heart. God put that song in there. And you look at what Jesus did. Of all the wonderful things He did, at the very end, He went to the cross. And there was a harmonizing sound from Calvary, drawing you and I into that harmony with God. Because of what Jesus did there, because He shed His blood, because He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because He said, it's finished, and gave up the ghost, we can receive the Holy Ghost. The Lord made a way for us to get in harmony with heaven. When you sing, you can sing, and you let your heart harmonize, and even your voice will be glorious. Harmonize with Him. Let your last song be the most beautiful song you've ever sung. I've heard of people singing as they lay in their deathbed, going on to be with the Lord. And if you can't hear it in their voice, you can feel it from their heart. They're singing their final song, just as Jesus presented us a glorious song at Calvary. Oh, not by men's standards. But what isn't salvation? A glorious, glorious song. I urge you today, harmonize with heaven, and you will walk in the Spirit. And this awful, awful, terrible world will fade in the distance because you're harmonizing with the glory of Almighty God. Where were you when the morning stars sang together. Here we are now. Let's sing with them. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, to consider all of these things. And we ask, O God, that the power of the Holy Ghost would fill us all. That as we sing, O Lord, let us harmonize with a glorious place, O Lord, where Thou dwellest. Lord, Thou dwellest also in the hearts of Thy children. Though we're in danger every day, let us learn from the very birds that we'll still sing. We'll still sing. We'll sing a new song unto Thee, O God. We'll harmonize. We'll harmonize with heaven. Lord, let Thy people truly yield their hearts this morning. Fill us, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. Oh God, pour out Thy Spirit upon us. Even now we pray. In Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's lift our